This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I am tired of her looking down her nose at us like we didn't live in the same neighborhood.
I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now.
This is your sister. We know y'all gonna start acting like it.
In every family.
This is your daughter's wedding.
Everything's gonna be fine. You just relax.
There is good.
Mrs. Cartwright paid for the wedding.
Look at you. You look beautiful.
You sure you wanna do this?
I love that girl.
And there is bad.
What are your plans after graduation?
Looking for a job, I guess.
Give me a call. I'm sure we can find a position for you.
Okay.
There are the ties that bind.
William, meet Ms. Abigail Dexter. She thinks she can take this company global.
I thought you were considering me for that position.
Why on earth would you think that?
Because I'm your son.
I was thinking about starting my own construction company.
What you need me for?
A little bit more faith, brother.
There are the mistakes we make.
You don't trust me?
It's not you I don't trust, darling. It's your private thoughts that give me pause.
And there are secrets.
Are you having an affair with Mr. Cartwright?
That might destroy us.
You better watch your step.
It is sisters like you that give us all a bad name.
I want us to drive across country, like Oprah and Gail.
Every truth.
You work pretty close with him, right?
Not that close.
Begins with a lie.
I was wondering if I can get a meeting with him, that's all.
Don't be stupid. This man is not interested in helping you. He's a multi-millionaire.
Every dream.
Alice, do you think God forgives us for all our previous sins?
Has a dark side.
Sometimes I feel I've been paying for things my entire life.
Every choice.
What you're up to now is only going to lead to disaster.
Has a consequence.
That's a lovely fragrance.
Thank you.
Alfre Woodard, Sanaa Lathan, Rockman Dunbar, Katie Strickland, Cole Hauser, Taraji P. Henson, Robin Givens, Tyler Perry, and Kathy Bates.
Let me tell you, my family has been known to prey on the weak.
Tyler Perry's The Family That Prays.
Nicole Byer.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
This is our third episode of the third season. We are working our way through Tyler Perry's body of work for the very first time with the help of Perry scholars, super fans, and sometimes people who've contributed. This season will be 10 episodes, so we're not going to get to everything.
But we might want to. But today... We can say that we have experienced a Tyler Perry family melodrama, The Family That Prays, which came out in 2008. And we'll be revisiting more movies and TV shows in the weeks to come. But if you want to watch The Family That Prays, it's available on DVD and for a fee on Amazon, Apple TV+, Google Play, and Vudu. So obviously we're going to have spoilers here, so watch ahead if you want to watch. And if not, you can just listen to us talk about it and we'll explain the whole film to you. But before we bring our guest out, Nicole, how did you feel about The Family That Prays.
Wow.
Okay. The Family That Prays was was interesting in a way where, like, I was happy to finish it. I was like, I gotta see where this goes.
Totally.
There was, like, little storylines that that didn't have a payoff, but I didn't mind.
Same.
The family, everyone was so mean to each other.
Some of the slaps, there's a slap that rocked the world. And then there's like a like fight where someone almost falls off a building. Like, it's like really crazy.
Yep.
I watched it at 9 a.m. I was awake and I was like, I got to do my Tyler Perry homework. I'm going to put it on. It was a great morning. I watched this movie. The twists and turns. I thought a more of a Get Out sort of thing was going to be happening.
Same.
And then that didn't happen. So then that was kind of weird. Like, I don't know. There's just so many, there's so much happening. There's so many storylines. There's like, it's like you kind of add all this subtext to everything as you're watching it, because mm-hmm. there's so much going on that you're like, oh, this must mean this. And this guy's doing this. And then that's never true. And then it's kind of like,
yeah, I will say this. Tyler Perry truly doesn't really let the audience get ahead of him, because he's going to throw a curveball and this man, Nick, who you meet, who you don't know who he is. Oh boy, what a reveal at the end.
I thought he was going to be an angel. I literally was like, okay, they're saying he's like, sometimes angels are hiding in people that you don't expect. I was like, that's an angel.
Yep.
And then he just wasn't anything. I was like, he was just some guy.
Truly nothing.
I loved it. Well, should we bring our guest out and get into this? Okay, we're very excited for our guest today. Our guest is Jacquise Neal. Jacquise is an actor, comedian, and podcaster who has appeared in Liza on Demand and Bless This Mess. And Jacquise co-hosted the long-running, wonderful podcast Culture Kings. He currently co-hosts The Cast with Ray and Jacquise, which I really need to listen to. I want to hear more about that. It's on HeadGum with Ray Sani. Welcome, Jacquise.
Hey.
We're very excited to have you here.
What's up? What's up?
Oh, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my God.
First and foremost, what did you think about the movie?
Oh, my gosh. My first thought, I said this to y'all, you know, before we start recording. My first thought after watching this movie was, I need to watch more of this dude's stuff, man. Because because what a goddamn ride. First of all, it was five different movies in one.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved all five of them.
Yes.
I loved all five of the movies, and I don't know what the movie is really about. Because
I don't know what the point was.
No, because the whole Kathy Bates storyline is like a whole different world.
It's a whole different movie.
Yes.
Just like, all right, is this like a woman who's about to die and realizes that she's in love with her friend? It's like a lesbian love story.
Yes. There was lesbian undertones.
There was something happening there.
There's something happening here.
Yeah.
And then, but then it's also like a Southern, like, family drama between Kathy Bates and her son and shit. I'm like, what is this? And also the play on words makes no sense. Ain't nobody praying in this damn movie.
That's why I truly thought that like the white people were like stealing souls or doing something, because they seemed so evil at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're preying on people. And then they didn't do anything. I don't know.
It seemed as if it was like the family preys on itself and takes care of another family, but then preys on one member of the other family.
But it felt like he liked the title, and he was like, "That's just the title.
That's just the title." he created the title before he wrote the movie,
yes.
And was like, "I'm not changing this shit. I wrote this in 26 hours, and I'm not changing this movie."
I never found a way to connect the title, and I don't care.
Also, can I just say, first of all, let me get this out here. I'm a huge Sanaa Lathan. I always mispronounce her last name.
Sanaa Lathan.
All right.
Yeah.
I think it's Sanaa Lathan.
See, I be pronouncing her name wrong. I'm sorry, Queen. I apologize.
But
I'm a huge
fan
of hers. How can I be a huge fan? I can't even pronounce her name. Love and Basketball is one of my favorite. I know,
yes,
it's terrible.
Classic.
It's one of my favorite movies. It's so good that she could never be in anything and make me not like her.
Yeah.
Until I saw this damn movie. I've never She's not so liked mean. A person. She is the meanest She's fucking so person. Mean.
But to the point, she's so mean that when she gets slapped so hard, she tosses over a countertop.
She flew.
I think at that point, you're supposed to be like, yeah, you deserved it. But I still was like, no.
I know. I couldn't believe that Chris was hitting her like that. I was like, he has already established he's a good person, but he can be put. He's pushed to a limit. So then I was like, okay, so then he's going to get pushed at some point that he can't overturn. But then he slaps her so hard in front of everyone that she flies over a diner counter. Like, a slap can't even do that. Like, her head rocketed her over the counter. I don't understand.
Lauren, he slapped her so hard, she gave him $286,000.
Yep, she sure did. she sure did. That was the resolution.
For anyone listening, she literally did that. That is what happened. She goes, I'll get more.
She caught air and was like, take all my money.
That was the craziest thing. I was like, why are you giving it to him? She's like, I don't even care. I'm like, the other guy's not that rich. Like, you want to have the money. I don't understand.
Yeah. You want to have something. She reveals that his child's not even his child.
Oh,
and
my God.
I mean,
whose face I don't think we even saw, right? Like, the kid was sitting at the counter at one point.
We see him at the end where she's in this, like, I think it's supposed to be like a motel room, but it's definitely like the entrance to an office building. And
she's living in an office where she used to work.
That's what it seemed like. Like, she was living at her new job.
And then the guy that she was having the affair with is like, she's like, we have a son together. And he was like, do we? And then it's like, well, do you?
Yeah.
When he said, do we? And that's where they left it. I was like,
And I was like, okay,
well,
so
that's
not
resolved.
She's not getting any help from him, I guess, is how that's
she
going.
She was getting help from Chris. Chris, after he's like, listen, I'm the same way. I'm rooting for this guy. And then he slaps the hell out of her. And my mouth just drops for like a full 5 minutes because it came out of nowhere.
I screamed. I was like, what?
It came out of nowhere. It was such a hard slap and nobody gave a shit.
Nobody cared.
Well, it's because they like hated her already. Like, this is something we've kind of touched on with the other ones that we watched. Like, Tyler Perry will make characters so you hate them so much that you don't care what happens. Like, I felt like the sister, like Taraji P. Henson's character, like hates her sister so much that like it just did nothing. And then she was like, Taraji was like crying about it, but then it seemed fake.
Yeah.
Like in the back room, she was like,
nobody explained anything to Taraji this whole movie. Yeah. Like, her sister didn't tell her sister that she was having an affair. Her mom didn't tell her that she had some money and didn't have to have the restaurant. Nobody told her who Nick was, and she was just like, ew, this icky man, I have to help him get dressed. Like,
but that was like comedic. Like, there was like that point in the beginning where Nick is it's a homeless man who comes into the restaurant. He first comes in and she's like pretending to scrub a dot on the counter. She's like, oh, but this dot. It was a pretty funny moment, but I was like, she is being really mean as well to this man who the mom really cares about. So it's like, you know him. There's clothes waiting for him. Like, you're so unfeeling.
You know exactly where it is.
Yeah.
You know the combination to the locker. Go give him his clothes.
Like, don't make him feel bad.
All of like the homeless people or people in like dire straits so far in these movies don't speak. They're all like, I couldn't possibly say a word.
No, because then there's
I just need a little help.
The part where Nick is sitting at the table with the mom and he's like, I don't know, telling her some sort of like stocks to invest in. Yes.
Right. And I'm just like, wait a minute.
Like quietly telling her how to invest.
Still know how to invest.
And she's, I can't stay here. I gotta go. Bye, GameStop.
And then Taraji's like, he's crazy. And then I'm like, he didn't sound crazy at all.
No.
He sounded so logical. I don't know what he was talking about, but it was like, it seemed like really like smart. And then I guess at the end, is that how he got the house? Like he invested or something? Like, I don't know.
I think it's like, because they were like this separate company that had shares in the company, which I don't understand what the company does. Because
I don't
they're stockbrokers, they're builders. No. Like, I don't understand the company.
Yeah, they do everything.
Yeah.
And also, why was Taraji P. Henson there? Like, she didn't know. Her mama was just like, yo, you want to come somewhere with me? Yeah, mama, I'll be there. And they just went to a board meeting. And she was like, mama, you ain't telling me you was a millionaire. Like, what the fuck you doing here?
And then her response was, you didn't ask. Which is so funny.
You didn't ask.
You
I'm going to ask everyone if they're a millionaire to finally find out.
Oh, my God. Also, I gotta, we gotta stop having, you know, Alfred Woodard and Sanaa be mother and daughter, because she's always awful to her. She was her daughter in Love and Basketball. Apparently she was her daughter in another movie I've never seen. And in this one, I think this is the last movie. And she was like, you can't be my daughter no more.
You're too mean.
You're too mean. You making me feel some type of way.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, okay, so you said you've only seen, like, one other which was the other one you've seen?
I've seen pretty much all the Madea movies, but I count those as one.
Fair. Okay.
As one.
And see, it's just an extended feature.
It's an extended feature because, you know, listen, I grew up black, and you know, look, black folks love them, black church folk. I grew up in the church, too. Black church folks love them some Tyler Perry. So I've been on Tyler Perry since the plays. Like, that's when I first got introduced to Tyler Perry. I went to go see a Tyler Perry play.
Same.
Wow.
Yeah, it was Madea. Tyler Perry is such an enigma to me because he's this cross-dressing, foul-mouthed, like, dude who plays an older woman that church folks love. And I don't get it. I don't
that
get it.
That is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Everything my grandmother says about, you know, grandmother is a classic church woman. I was like, but you just told me how you don't like people who cross-dress and you love Tyler Perry. You wild. You're wild. And that's like, my introduction.
I feel like there's something about that character that makes people feel like, you know, that feeling of like being made fun of, but it's comforting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it feels like there's something there where it's like, oh, he's like roasting like this type of person in like a really funny way that's like accessible and not mean. It's just like funny. But he really disappears into the Madea character, which I did not expect. And I also was really expecting Madea to come into this movie at some point. And I really wanted it.
I want Madea so bad.
We want Madea. We love Madea. We have only had one movie with Madea so far.
And we
so
want
we're like,
more Madea. Yeah. Madea is so funny.
She's
and
great.
I would say it's like maybe church people like Madea because she's non-threatening. But then I was like, oh no, she shoots a gun constantly.
Yes, she's so threatening. Like, I don't get the infatuation with Madea from church folks when I'm like, but like, and then the opposite side for the rest of the sermon, essentially. It is the most amazing thing to me that I just absolutely love. I love it so much.
Maybe it also has to do with just how much he's into like morals and like, so like the theme of everything is so like deeply religious and moral somehow, like through it all that like, I don't know, I guess it gives a little bit of leeway for that character, but it's very interesting that did Madea on stage get laughs in that? Like, I mean, it must've been like insane.
Oh,
I feel like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Funniest
oh, yeah.
thing ever.
From my memory, the minute Madea like walked out on stage, she got like a standing ovation, and then every word out of her mouth, everyone was like, ha ha!
Yes. Yes. And you know what I love about Madea and Tyler Perry movies just in general? Like, I can watch them with my grandma. Like, the last movie I tried to watch with my grandma was Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which was all good until we got to the sex scene. I was like, I can't watch this with you no more. And she was even like, ooh, baby. But like this one, no matter how wild it gets, you always going to have something about prayer. You always going to have some church songs or some church music. You're going to have some character who loves them some Jesus. And that's going to bring, you know, that's going to bring us together. That's going to bring me and grandma together when we watch these movies.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to jump into our news Madea segment here. This is our news media. I'm going to explain it every time because I don't feel like it's clear.
I don't know. I like when you explain it because I'm like, news media.
News
oh, yes,
Madea.
News media.
Oh, okay. See, I get didn't get it? It, but I get it now. Okay. I get it now.
To continue shooting safely during the pandemic, Tyler Perry built Camp Quarantine at his studio. This person is the most effective. I'm so impressed by this. Okay, I haven't heard of anyone else doing this.
No.
Tyler Perry had 9 TV series in production in 2020 and 4 new shows ranging from Nickelodeon's Young Dylan. Okay, he's a Nickelodeon show.
He's got a Nickelodeon show?
To BET's Assisted Living. He managed to get cameras rolling again this summer by turning his 330-acre Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta into what he called Camp Quarantine.
Wow.
It was an $18 million program that included a 30-page list of conditions, along with requirements for testing, masks, and social distancing. He also sequestered the Sistas cast and crew at the studio for the duration of filming. And after wrapping on Sistas, he went on to shoot The Oval, Ruthless, and Bruh in succession.
Wow.
He moved faster.
Like, yes.
How wild. It's so curious to me that other studios don't follow this.
How did he figure this out?
I don't know, Nicole. Tyler Perry up here filming full 23 episode seasons in 2 weeks. Now listen, I love the quarantine, all that shit is great. But this dude is working these fools like slaves up there. Man, he's like, no sleep, record, film. It's like a soap opera. They film it like soap operas.
They do film like soap operas. It's 30 pages a day. We're going to do one episode in 1.5 days. Yes. But I mean, I think studios could have quarantined actors
and then
just been like,
yeah,
we're going to shoot in like the shittiest city that we can find. So you can't really do anything. And then we sequester you and shoot it, as opposed to studios having to like close down productions because their young actors can't stop partying.
That's true.
I'm very impressed by this. I mean, there's a picture, and I don't know if that picture is connected to the story. That picture is kind of weird.
It is weird. So the picture we're looking at is like rows of what looks like barns and a bunch of people milling about, but they're all pretty far apart.
They're all perfectly distanced.
I assume they're getting tested.
Oh, maybe they are. Okay. Because it looks like they would be living in these like weird trailers or something, which... It looks like an army. I mean, I don't know. It looks like an army base. It looks really odd.
Which I'm not surprised.
Maybe Tyler Perry's starting a COVID-free army.
Oh, my God. I would not be shocked at this point.
Imagine that's like our next defense is Tyler Perry's army.
I need to know about his Nickelodeon show.
If Tyler Perry created an army, I'd be hauling her forward because I know it's going to get work done. I know it's going to get the work done. And I know, you know, we're going to have some good music.
Yeah, instead of the 100-year war, it's like the 1 week war. It's like, we're fighting around the clock, okay?
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm looking up Young Dylan, which came out in 2020. I mean, he literally has been, he just made so many shows during the pandemic when no one else was working. I'm just like blown away by this.
He's smart. Wait, what is assisted living?
I don't know about that either.
Is that about old people? Apparently, yes.
See, you know the thing I love about Tyler Perry? One, he's a billionaire, which I know we're not supposed to love billionaires, but fuck it. I love Tyler Perry as a billionaire.
He seems like a good billionaire in that he didn't get his money from screwing people over. It's like he just got it from making an empire of films, right? I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently Tyler Perry, well, he writes everything.
Yeah.
And so he skirts... By doing a whole bunch of non-union shit.
Okay, so maybe that just a little bit shady.
It's a little bit shady. But the thing that I love, he got all this money. He has all these ideas. He's writing all his movies, quick movies, do the whole seasons. And his wig budget is atrocious. Like, even in this movie, he had a wig on for his afro. And I'm like, that is the worst wig I've ever seen.
That wig was so funny and unnecessary. Can I just tell you?
I love that that's his character. The character is like, my hair is a little bit longer.
Can I just tell you real quick? Tyler Perry's Assisted Living, it's on BET. It premiered on September 2nd, 2020. And there are 25 episodes of it.
Lord. Yeah.
So not only is he like you know, producing fast, he's also producing a lot of episodes.
Yes.
Also, there is a character named Todd the Inspector.
That was like a series regular?
I think so.
How are you going to be a series regular and don't even have a last name, man? That's
You're
wrong.
Just the Inspector.
It's from the Meet the Browns universe.
Okay.
So people reprise their roles from Meet the Browns. So all of Tyler Perry's stuff is like intertwined.
That's smart too, because then it's like you don't have to come up with anything new. You're like, oh, nope. We already know these people. We'll just put them over here. And we just did get verification that that picture is his studio. I mean, is his camp. So that's literally what it is. It looks like those barns.
So that's where people are sleeping and stuff?
I guess.
How wild.
The Tyler Perry bubble.
I mean, Camp Quarantine sounds like, I guess it's supposed to be like summer camp vibe. That's why it's those weird little cabins. But they're like long barns. They're really weird.
It's the only way to describe them.
Yeah.
Is long barns. Also, 330 acres. I can't even fathom how big that is. That's very big.
He did like a tour of his like studio, which apparently is amazing. Like everybody who went there said, this is the most amazing thing I've ever filmed. And I know like Bad Boys 2, or three and Coming to America were both filming there at the same time too. So he's filming like all the black shit at his studio.
So he lends it out. He's not just doing his own stuff.
Yeah, he lends it out. He's lending it out to a couple productions as well. I would love to just take a tour of it because it seems like Disney World for like film studio.
Yeah. Well, there must just be so many things going on if you have a whole section of 300 barns full of people.
I wonder how much it is to rent out. Is it like comparable to other studios or is it cheaper to entice people to film there?
I mean, I feel like if you do 25 episodes in 1 month, it's probably cheap as hell.
You have a lot. And I mean, if he's working that fast, it's like there's a lot of time during the year where there's nothing being made, maybe. He's like, I finish all my shows in January.
Which we started in January.
Yes. We started January 1 and we were done January 28th. If anyone wants to rent out the place for the rest of the year, you can go for it.
I mean, how wild.
I truly can't believe how many shows he has going on. Because like, this is the whole thing. Like, Nicole and I have not really seen any of this stuff, but I mean, I've been so aware of him, but I didn't realize that he had this many things. Mm-hmm. It's like, he's on every network. He has five new shows right now. I can't keep up.
And I forgot he did Meet the Browns. See, that's the thing I love about Tyler Perry, because he's so prolific. Like, when I watch this movie and then on Prime, I watch it on Prime. So after it's over, it gives you, what do you want to watch next? Mm-hmm. And it was just like 20 movies with Taraji P. Henson, just like all the same people, which I love. See, he was like, oh, you in the family? You in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That all came out before 2012. And it's just like, he's still making movies. He has like 100 films under his belt, I feel like.
Which is
just amazing.
So much.
It's amazing. He got to be tired. He has to be tired.
I don't think
he is. Or
maybe
not. He films so quickly that he's got tons of time to vacation.
That's like true. Doing great. Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll deep dive into this movie.
Do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30 and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/newcomers.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back.
Okay, so The Family That Prays was written by Tyler Perry, directed by Tyler Perry. It was released September 12th, 2008. Should we go through the summary?
The plot. Yeah.
Okay.
Buckle up.
Okay, so as a favor to her friend Alice, socialite Charlotte Cartwright hosts her daughter Andrea's wedding, which I thought was so weird. At the wedding, Andrea and her
really
new
weird.
Husband Chris.
It was really weird. And when she's like putting on the wedding dress.
Yeah, she's like, don't embarrass mama. And then she's like, I don't want to wear this dress. And I was like, but it's your wedding.
It was just a really strange start. But then I guess looking back, I'm like, I guess because that character's supposed to be so mean.
I guess it was setting up that she is ungrateful.
Yeah, but it really came across weird because like you don't get that until much later, really. Like,
yeah.
So it just was like, oh, she's being like really bitchy about this wedding dress that I assume she already knew she was going to wear today.
Right. It's not like this is your first time seeing it. Like, you know,
like,
you
surprise,
had to get it
you're getting
fitted.
Married, here's your dress.
Right. You can wed it in this beautiful like chapel or whatever there are. You know you saw that dress.
Okay, so at the wedding, Andrea and her new husband are congratulated by Charlotte's son, William, and his wife, Jillian. William suggests they contact him for employment once they return from their honeymoon, since his family owns a successful construction company. Okay, so it's a construction company, but then there's stockbrokers in the construction company?
I don't know. And then he was clearly hitting on the bride. He like he kisses her cheek and like winks at her, and then like is also like, I'll give you a job in construction, man. And it's like, it was a very weird energy coming off right off
it
the bat.
It was so weird. Like, he was biting his lip as he was talking to her. I'm like, come on, bro.
It's her wedding day.
It's her wedding day. Like, stop eyeballing her up and down.
It was
the weirdest thing.
So, okay, we cut to 4 years later. And then Andrea's having an affair with William. Chris dreams of opening a construction firm with Ben, who is played by Tyler Perry. Who also works at the Cartwrights Construction Company and is married to Andrea's sister, Pam, who we see when we met him at the wedding a little bit, and that was a pretty fun scene. Chris is rejected for a loan application, but discovers Andrea has deposited $300,000 in a secret account. By the way, this is jumping ahead so much because so much happens before this.
So
Andrea catches Chris going through her financial records. She tells him the money is from bonuses at work, but refuses to finance Chris's plans. Okay, I would like to say there's an hour where you don't know she's having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
She just doesn't like her husband and is kind of like, I'm tired all the time.
Yes. Also, the way he finds out at the bank, he was like, I'd like $40, please. And the teller's like, from which account? The one with a little bit of money or a lot of bit of money? And he's like, there's a lot of bit of money. And she's like, two accounts. And like,
he's like, the bank was like, your social security number matches your wife's. Like, I don't know. There was something like really
weird.
Oh,
yeah. There was something weird there.
It was so weird. Also, have you never been to the bank in Tyler Perry world? Like, this is, today is the day you go to the bank and find out you got two accounts. Like, come
it
on.
Was, yeah, he's never logged on online. He's never like gone to an ATM. Like, he just like, he goes in and then she's like, well, there's another account. And he's like, there's only one. And
there's only
like,
one, thank you. And she's like, okay.
She's like, the social security number of your wife, the same as yours? And I was like, that doesn't make sense. And then she's like, and that one's got a lot in it. And he's like, how much? And then she's like, 286,000. He's like, say what? And then, I think he goes, come again. And then Tyler Perry later is like, when he tells him about it, he goes, come again. He's like, that's what I said. I'm like, well, it is what you said. It's exactly.
Also, the thing that I love about this movie is apparently within these 4 years, everybody just either had amnesia or went so far away from each other. Because everybody that met again was like, oh, how you doing, brother? I haven't seen you since the wedding, man. How you doing, man? I haven't seen you in 4 years, brother. Uh-huh. Yeah, man.
Yeah, like, everyone Chris, just like right? forgot like, about each other.
That was so their funny. One event. They're all related now. They never talk again. I love that.
Yeah, we're also missing the whole, this summary is missing all of the shit about Kathy Bates and Alfre Woodard. Like, we need to hear about this. This is like the beginning of that is so weird. I'm like so confused that they're actually friends because Kathy Bates seems so evil at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then you find out later that Kathy Bates' husband was trying to displace people of color. And Alfre Woodard's character said no. And she was like, ooh, aren't you a spitfire who's strong? You could be my black friend who we'll all go on road trips with. When this movie turned into a road trip movie, I was like, wait a minute. What is going on?
I thought that was going to have something to do with everything else. And it didn't. It was like they literally were like, now we're in New Orleans. Now we're in wherever. Like, now we're in the South. And I was like, wait, what are you doing? You're just going to bars and like
going to bars and driving by baptisms and yes, like just getting out of the car and just getting baptized in dirty water.
And listen, let me tell you, Jackie's has been baptized 4 times in Lake Michigan. I get the baptizing in a body of water when the church ain't got a tub.
But did you drive by a random baptism?
You don't know any of the people? No. They don't know you're coming?
Nobody. Everybody just looks at you like, what the fuck are y'all doing in the ocean?
Like Kathy Bates was like, don't let go. She's just like falling into the water. And we also find out, I mean, let's keep reading. Because maybe some of this will come out.
So William is determined to take the family business from Charlotte and thinks his latest deal will convince shareholders. Charlotte hires Abby as COO. Robin Gibbons. Yes. Yes. I don't see her often. And I was Robin glad Gibbons. To see her in this.
So happy to see her.
And she determines the company will have to front $25 million to make William's deal viable. The only way to raise the money is for Charlotte to sell 10% of her shares, leaving her with a minority vote. William tells Abby that Charlotte's vote and his vote combined will give the Cartwrights continued control.
And Charlotte is Kathy Bates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Abby advises Charlotte to sell her shares. Afterwards, Charlotte asks Alice to go on a road trip. There we go. In her new convertible. Alice agrees. Then they head west without plans.
But when Alice shows up at Charlotte's house to go on the road trip, which it hasn't been determined. I don't think that she was going to go. But she like comes into her bedroom and Kathy Bates is like sitting in the dark with like, and she's like, and she's that, like, why are you in the dark? And she was like,
the camera. The camera.
I don't know much about Alzheimer's. I don't have anybody in my family who's ever had it and things like that. I just know what I see in movies. But what I do know is the way they had her flip the switch between I'm just a normal, fun loving, I want some ass white lady to I'm this desolate, can't open the camera, sit in the dark.
It was so weird. It was so not like anything. Like movies don't even portray it that way. So if you're writing it based on knowing nothing, you would never even go there. And then from what I understand, I've never witnessed anything like that with a person who has Alzheimer's. It's like it was like she was like becoming a child in a way where she was like into sex and like
and like drinking, which I guess was supposed to be like funny because she was like an uptight Southern woman or something. Mm-hmm. But it was, it truly was like, she seems fine.
She seems
like
so
she's like just kind of fun. Like, I don't.
She seems fine.
She's absolutely fine. She just has like one little incident where or she not was little. Like, again, I don't know much about Alzheimer's. But it was one incident in the entire movie.
And it wasn't even that big of a deal. It was like she was sitting in the dark and then she was like, it's a beautiful day. And she's like, but you're not even looking at it. The shades are drawn. And then she like opens it. And then it was like, okay. Like it didn't, it was more like, I thought she was mad. Like I just,
yes.
She didn't seem like she had a real problem. So that was.
I thought she had cancer or something. I thought she had like I'm about to die in 2 weeks, cancer or something.
I just didn't know what was going on. I was like, surely this will be revealed.
But like, there's no, like she, her character is like fine throughout. Like she has perfectly normal conversations with everyone. Like later when like the daughter-in-law is like, my husband's cheating. She's like, that's the same room my husband would cheat on me in. And
which is
like,
insane.
Why did
that
nasty.
Her son knew that?
He went to the same hotel room.
And said, I'm going to fuck where my daddy fucked. What?
Not just the same hotel, same room.
Same room.
He and sits in the same chair.
Her memory is good enough that she's saying, oh, room 6029, that's where your dad also had. It's like she just seemed perfectly with it. I don't know. It was just interesting.
So they go to honky tonks and strip clubs. Alice takes her to a baptism, which is fully wild. During the trip, Charlotte reveals to Alice that she's got early onset Alzheimer's disease.
And maybe and then she wants to go home.
Yeah, maybe the early onset is what we're holding on to, that like it hasn't really, you know, taken over, but there's little signs. But still, then is the drinking part of that, or is she just trying to have fun before she knows that she's not going to be able to do this anymore?
I think she's trying to have like one last hurrah, which is why she was like, I'm Thelma and that's Louise. Also, when Alfred Woodward threw holy water on that stripper.
I lost
When they're in the strip club and Kathy Bates is like having the time of her life and Alfred Woodward is like hiding her face like, oh no. It's just a different movie. It's just two different
movies. She pulls out
a
Bible. She pulls out like this little pocket Bible and was like, be back, devil. Be back.
And it is like comedic. So it's also like interesting. Like there's like these moments where like that is funny, but I also think it's supposed to be serious. It's just a really interesting tone. So at the company gala, both Jillian and Abby discover Andrea and William's affair. Who's Jillian? That's William's
That's
wife.
The front desk lady, right? Yeah.
I thought Jillian was the wife.
Wait, let me see. Let me look at my list. Yeah, she's the wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
With those bangs.
That's right. That's right.
Yep. Okay. Yes, she did have bangs.
Her bangs were a full thing.
Intense.
So Abby warns Andrea the affair will lead to her firing. Andrea rebuffs, believing William will protect her. William fires Chris and Ben after they ask him for money to start a construction business of their own.
Which is crazy to be like, hello, employer. Can I have money to start my own thing and I won't be employed here anymore?
Yeah. Convinced that the money in Andrea's account belongs to both of them, which I don't know why he's convinced of that since he didn't know about it. Chris takes it and pays deposits to start the construction firm with Ben.
Oh, wild.
And the construction firm is named Chris and Ben's Construction.
Yes. Yes. Which we find out about after he slaps the black off of this person. And we're still supposed to be like, oh, okay, I guess he had his happy ending.
I just couldn't believe it. I was like, not a last name? Chris and Ben?
No, they literally made a poster. It's like, Chris and Ben, have a hammer. I was like, okay, you can't think of a name?
So Charlotte and Alice return to Atlanta. Andrea confronts Chris for taking the money. She admits to the affair and confesses that the money was from William. After the fight turns physical, she tells Chris to move out. He brings up their son. Andrea reveals that William is his father. Alice tries to persuade Andrea to end her affair with William and reconcile with Chris. Although they aren't close, Jillian goes to Charlotte for advice. Charlotte reminds her that that she does not have a prenup and will be fine without William. Jillian warns Charlotte.
Which is like really nice. Like she's like
so nice.
She's basically like, take whatever you want.
She's like clipping flowers and she's like, know what you want. You have to be a strong woman. You don't have a prenup, so you hold all the cards. And
you'll
I was like,
be
wait,
fine.
What?
Because at first she's being kind of like unfeeling towards her. Like she's like, yeah, that's what happens in this type of relationship. If you want to have this house, you have to let them have sex with whoever they want. And you could have an affair of your own as well. And then she's like, I'm really upset because I actually am in love with him and this is sad. And she's like, let's just say you have a no prenup and you can do whatever you want. It's like, this character is hard to follow.
Yes. And then also what she does to William later negates the money. Like, she has him fired, so then it's like, where she doesn't have any money.
Right.
She don't then, have no
yes,
money.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't
also,
help.
Also, the people in this movie that can't, they not cheating good in this movie. Like, it is so obvious that they're all cheating.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, how do y'all not know that they cheated on y'all? It was the funniest thing. It was the funniest
thing. I know,
thing.
Well, because even just with, like, with Andrea or Andrea, I don't remember how they pronounced it in the movie, but she, like, she's so clearly having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she has no connection to her husband, so uninterested. When he shows up to work and then what Robin Givens is like, are you going to come to the gala? And he's like, I didn't know about it, but I'll be there. I was like, wait, can't you see this
can't
is bad that she didn't tell you that this is a thing? Like,
oh, wait. And at the gala, the front desk woman being like, oh, a husband's looking for a wife who's upstairs with somebody else.
I know. Like, the front desk lady gave it away so much. She's like, you're here? She always has something on Wednesday. I'll just stop talking. It's like,
yeah. And then Robin's like, you need to go home before you give away more of this plot to people.
And then there's that moment, which is like pure slapstick, where the receptionist calls the woman standing
part.
Right next to her and is like, your meeting's pushed. And she's like,
yes.
Okay. But then it was like, that's like Tyler Perry going like, just in case you didn't get it, that she's fucking that guy.
She's fucking Mr. Cartwright. She's
if
fucking
anything,
Mr.
Tyler
Cartwright.
Perry really wants you to like understand what's going on in the movie.
Yeah,
like there will be no questions. There's going to be no YouTube, you know, fucking videos about like, this could have meant this. It's like, no.
Right.
I'll just reiterate what I meant.
This is not Inception. This is The Family That Prays.
Well, which is why I think we're like enjoying this so much because we just spent like the last, you know, many months watching things where we have to have someone explain every element. Of it to us. And now we're like, no, I really get it. Okay. I know exactly what
if
is happening.
If anything, I get this so much that I've noticed other things. So, okay. So, but then Jillian like rewards Charlotte for like telling her to fuck other people and tells Charlotte about William's intent to have her voted out of the company. Chris confronts William on a job site with no windows and punches him and like holds him over the fucking edge like he's going to kill him.
He's literally almost murdered. It is all that is saving him is that Chris is able to hold on to his weight because he would fall to his death.
Yeah.
And then Chris hits a like piece of wood that has like the blueprints on it and it flies up in this like background actor's face.
You know that background actor wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, and he goes like, hey, or something. It was like,
hey.
And also, bro, how the fuck you make it up to, like, they at least on the 20th floor. How you make it all the way up to the 20th floor and make it all the way back down with no cop presence after you punched this man in the face?
There's never been any consequences with that stuff at all. So
never.
Okay, so Charlotte calls a board meeting and fires William with the support of the Calvary Company, a silent investor revealed to be Alice. Alice has been receiving financial guidance over the years from Nick. Okay, so he literally was telling her, a homeless man she fed at her diner in return for investment advice. But why is he homeless? Like, we don't, do we know?
Because William
she did explain.
Him.
Okay, wait. Nick worked for William as a stockbroker and had been a regular customer at Alice's diner until William fired him. He lost his wife and children. In the parking lot, Andrea approaches William unaware that of the recent events and expecting him to leave Jillian for her. Instead, he rejects her and drives away. Charlotte takes a deadly combination of pills and makes a final call to Alice. Alice gives the eulogy at Charlotte's funeral. But wait, I need to go back to Nick because Alice could have been helping Nick.
Yeah,
just like a little bit more than
giving him
feeding
a shirt that's really huge and like pants.
Yeah, like
she could be like,
money.
Let's get you on your feet. Let's try to figure out some housing for you.
And I mean, she does say it before we know that reveal. She does say to him, like, if you ever want to get off the streets, let me know. And he's like, okay. It's like he doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because he's so down about how his life turned around that he needed like that little bit of revenge against Mr. Cartwright to like go buy a house.
He's like,
like
now
that's
I'll
what
live
he
in a
needed.
House.
Now I'll live, and not just like an apartment or
no,
the way
like
he bought like a
no,
fucking
he bought
mansion.
A huge house.
He bought a mansion.
But like that was such a strange payoff because he had only been in like two tiny little scenes.
Yeah,
and you're like, wait, you get a like a whole house buying.
I wasn't
scene?
Even sure it was him at the end. I had to like rewind that.
I know.
He just get a house. Wait, what?
Because he looks so much. I think that was a reshoot because he is at least 20 pounds lighter.
Thank that you. One there was scene. Something he looked different. And also
he
like
his so different.
When he was homeless, he was like really tan and had dirt on his face all the time. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, he's like, he just looks totally different. I mean, he looks
totally different.
He's paler.
Can I tell you my favorite small part? One of my favorite small parts is when she's banged at the end, when she's like, leave your wife for me. He's like, I'm not going to leave my wife for you. And she's banging on the car. Normally when people did, she's screaming. Normally when people do that, you roll the window up. This
he
dude rolled the
down.
Window down. Just drove the fuck off.
He was like, I need to hear the last bits of screaming before I leave. That is, I also caught that. I was like, wait, why did he roll the window down?
It is just little stuff like that that made this movie so enjoyable for me.
I agree.
And then after he drove away, she just like fell on her knees in the middle of a parking lot. And I was like, you better get up.
He drove.
Yeah. People are not, you know, the most attentive.
He sped out of that parking lot. I was like, he's going to hit someone and they will die within 1 second. Like, because he goes like 0 to 100, like just in a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, like, I know you just said, you know, you can have the money, but go get your money back.
Go get your money. That's a lot of money
a lot of money.
Give up to Ben and Chris's construction company.
And then she I guess, has $0 now. She gave her whole bank account to him. Okay, so in the end, Chris and Andrea split with the paternity of their son left unclear. Chris and Ben opened their... Did you read this or am I just...
No, we haven't read this yet.
Oh, Chris and Ben open their firm and Nick lands back on his feet. William and Jillian reconcile, slowly salvaging their marriage. Alice decides to sell the diner and drives off to start a new life in the car that Charlotte left her with a photo of her and Charlotte taped to the dashboard. Again, completely different film.
It's a different film. So she walks out of her diner. She puts up a for sale sign. She struggles to lock it. She gets in a car, tapes a picture in a convertible. And then drives away with no plan, saying goodbye to some people on the street. I was like, wait, what?
And she was also driving on the wrong side of the
road. On the wrong side of the road. I was like, you driving on the wrong side. You parked on the wrong side of the street.
I didn't even understand why, because it's like, just shoot it the other way, where she walks around the car and gets in, then drives away the right way.
Couldn't do it. Sorry. We only have that one camera angle. We will not do another setup.
She cuts across a double yellow line while there's pedestrians crossing the street and then like goes through. It's like, wait, let's do a take two. Like, we could do this
sorry.
One more time.
This is how we get it done fast. One take and we are fucking out of here.
We are
okay?
out of here.
No camera repo. Nothing.
Like her struggling to lock
We've
the door.
Already been filming this movie for 12 days. We got to wrap. We got to wrap.
But it was so bizarre. It was like a road trip, like a girlfriend movie wrapped in a cheating drama saga of people trying to outmoney other people. It was,
totally.
It was wild. I had a great time.
That's also a little racist, like with the Southern family. Like,
I
like
thought that
said.
Was going to be like a bigger part of it. Like, because it seemed like that was the setup at the beginning. Like, it seemed really, the dynamics were really odd. And then none of that really came into play.
No.
It's all just about some people are evil and some people are not. And there's kind of no rhyme or reason to who it is. It was just like, she's a really mean lady. She's dating a really mean rich guy, having an affair. And I never really got a moral out of that one, I guess. It's like, I guess that she was a bitch and she lost everything. So she like...
I guess that's the moral.
Like, that's it. It's like, if you're going to be mean to everyone in your life and like so hateful, like it is going to come back and get you. But like, why does Chris get to have the money? Like, that makes me annoyed too. He was also not perfect.
Yeah, I don't know. And then... there's a scene with William and Jillian just eating dinner. And I was like, is this what you wanted?
So then they're like together. They stay together. He's like, I want to make it work with my wife. And then she's like, we have a child. He's like, do we? And then he's at home silently eating with that woman as if it's like good. Like it was
and in
like,
the dark too. Like, yeah, I got light.
It was horrible.
And then her bangs changed at the end. I guess she had like big bangs to be like, I'm an ingenue who's just so sad. And then her bangs like swipe to the side and she's like, I'll get what I want.
Well, that also makes me think of reshoots because I, as someone who goes between having bangs and not having bangs all the time, it's like a constant struggle to like try to match the old bangs where I feel like they were like, okay, we're just going to push it all over because they were so pronounced. And then it was like she looks totally different without them. Like it was
she does.
A lot of people by the end of the movie look like different people than the beginning of the movie.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, they had to come back and shoot the end like 5 months later.
He didn't write the end yet. Also, can we talk about when his wife, Mr. Cartwright's wife, went to go to the hotel room where, you know, Sanaa was fucking Chris or fucking what's the dude's name, Mr. Cartwright? What's his real name?
William.
Where she's fucking William. Like, that is one of my biggest pet peeves in movies because it's so funny and unrealistic how a complete person can walk in a room and you don't look up at all to see who the fuck just walked in your room.
She's literally like, hey, babe, can't believe it. We're gonna get away with all of this, or you know, something. And like looks up, it's like heels, legs, woman. That's not you. Like,
it's so obvious. It's so obvious that that's not him. She's like, ooh, baby, we got away with it. Now fuck me good. And she looks up like, oh, no.
It is funny because, yeah, anytime someone walks in a room, like in my own house, I'm always like, ah! Yeah. And it's like, what do you mean you're screaming? You live in a house with people. But without fail, if someone enters a room I'm in where I was alone, I will scream. So, like, even if I was in a hotel room, I would immediately look up to see who's coming in. Is it a cleaning lady? Is it the person I'm expecting to fuck? Is it his wife? Who is it?
Yeah. Especially after the bad day you just had.
And that you're cheating. It's like you should kind of be on edge a little bit all the time. Like something is going to happen.
Yes. You always looking over your shoulder when you cheat.
So wait, this movie won awards. Oh, wait. What? Let's see.
Well, wait, we should say it's written by Tyler Perry, directed by Tyler Perry, released on September 12, 2008. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yes, it was nominated. It got a bunch of things, right?
Oh, no, it was nominated. So nominated for an Outstanding Motion Picture, Outstanding Actress for Alfre Woodward, and Outstanding Directing for Tyler Perry at the NAACP Image Awards, Alfre Woodward and Sanaa Lathan. Oh, we got to figure out how to say this woman's name.
We do.
We're nominated for Best Actress at the Black Reel Awards. And Tyler Perry was nominated for Best Screenplay, Original or Adapted. Ferris, can you find out how we say Sanaa Lathan's name?
Yeah.
Just so we say it correctly one time during this podcast.
That'd be nice.
I know. And I've always been like, this is how, because I used to say it without fail, Sanaa Lathan. And somebody was like, that's not how you say it. And ever since then, I've been like, I don't know how to say this woman's name.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw her in A Raisin in the Sun, and she was so fucking good.
Like a play on stage? Or
she
like...
was she in the Puff Daddy?
Yeah, in the stage play with P. Diddy.
Yeah.
Who famously recreated the set in his house so he could really practice. That's what money does for you.
That feels like being dumb.
That seems so unnecessary.
Why can't you imagine the stage?
You can't imagine he's got to be there.
I've done so much theater, and up until the set is built, you just walking around on taped floors.
Yeah, yep. I think you can use your imagination a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, so critically, the film was not well received. It currently has a 53% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, that's not that bad. The score does make it the second highest rated Tyler Perry movie on Rotten Tomatoes, behind only I Can Do Battle by Myself.
Okay, not
horrible.
All right. One critic from AV Club wrote, while it's wonderful to see actresses as shamefully underemployed as Woodward and Bates on the big screen, even they can't make sense of these incoherent characters.
Would you say they're shamefully underemployed? Oh, I mean, I feel like, well, Alfre Woodard is more underemployed than Kathy Bates.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a weird way to phrase that, I feel like.
It is.
I will say, like, Tyler does pull people who you want to see more of and puts them in movies.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And he also, like, helped, like, really make Taraji P. Henson prolific, where people's like, oh, let's keep seeing her and stuff. Because she's in, like, four of his movies, I feel like. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, and audiences like the film, which is the kind of the continuing theme here as we go through these movies. It has a Google audience score. It has a Google audience score of 87%, and it grossed $17.4 million its opening weekend, eventually earning $37.1 million domestically. And it's the second least successful Tyler. It's the second least successful Tyler Perry film. Daddy's Little Girls is the least successful. So, I mean, he still makes millions of dollars, even when it's not doing great.
This is like, wild numbers to be like, this was not as successful as it could have been.
And I feel like these fresh ratings are like, who's writing it? Because at the end of the day, the audiences like it. They go to the films. It's like, I don't know. Yeah. I think that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
So we figured out how to say her name. Oh, okay. Hold on.
It was, yes, Sanaa Lathan.
I think you said that.
So we were pretty close. Sanaa Lathan.
Yeah, I get in my head. Also, I want to reject the notion of movies having to be good to be good.
Thank you.
We liked it, and that's all that really matters. Are you entertained? Yes. Then it was a good fucking movie. It doesn't have to be quote unquote script good or all. Mm-hmm. Like a bad movie can be good, and like especially on Twitter, and me and you, but all three of us know a few film snobs who are just like, oh, if it isn't one of the best movies of all time, it's bad. And I'm just like, no. And that's, in critics, that's all critics think about is it a quote unquote good movie? Not, did I have fun watching this movie?
Totally.
I did.
And it's always comparing it to other things. I think Tyler Perry movies stand alone completely. Mm-hmm. You cannot compare them to anything they don't fit a genre.
Nope.
They have so many different things going on. And that's what's fun about it. Like I was entertained the entire time. I wanted to know what was going to happen. I was curious about every character. It was a good time.
I picked up my phone at one point last night when I was watching it. And I missed something, and I was like, well, dang. So I put my phone down, rewound it, and gotta watch this.
Same. I checked my phone when she died, and I looked away when she was looking at the mirrors and shit, and I checked my phone real quick, and I looked up, and we at her funeral, or, like, she getting a call that she died. I'm like, wait a minute, she died?
You can't look away. You can't. You can't. Because something insane is going to happen.
Her mirror was also a little wild for me. So it was just, like, opens from this side. I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then he was like, or the mirror said, this person's your friend.
Oh, my God,
and I was
mirror.
Like, oh, okay. And then it was like, you're a nice, I wish I could remember all. No, I should
we
have
need to get a
down.
Screenshot of that when we post about this, because it was great. It was like, you're a nice lady. Your son is named whatever. You work at here. And it was just like, so she is losing her faculties, but she
only
didn't seem
night.
Like that.
She
but also she wrote,
night.
You are a nice lady. I
well,
don't
I
know
might have
if
made
that's
that up.
A
I
thing
might have
that
made
leaves
that up.
You.
I might have made that up.
I hope they were all with all my goofy. Being, she wrote that.
I made that up.
I hope you didn't make that up. I hope you saw
I made that up.
And it's in your subconscious.
I am a nice lady.
But that was the thing. I was like, I think you remember. Like, I didn't feel like she was at the point in her life where she had to end it all. Like, it was just,
yeah,
yes,
she was doing okay. I don't know. I mean,
and then also, so I thought she hired the COO to like co-run the business with her. I guess she hired the COO
to run
so
it.
She could oust her son and that person could take over the business.
Yeah.
So maybe it was like a long play where she was like, I'm going to kill myself and I need to set up the company so my son can't have a fucking thing because I'm a nice lady, says it in the mirror.
I know. I'm trying to find a screenshot of that on Google and it's not working.
While you look for that, I'm going to give some trivia.
Okay.
Ooh,
so
yes.
We already know this. Alfrey and Sanaa played mother and daughter in Love and Basketball. Mm-hmm. Alfrey also played Taraji P. Henson's mother in Empire. Mm-hmm. Tyler Perry worked in construction before finding success with plays and film.
Oh.
Much like Harrison Ford, who I believe worked at construction.
Thank you.
Before Stewers. I did retain something.
Connecting it.
Famously a carpenter.
The film grossed $17 million its opening weekend, eventually earning $37.1 million domestically. Oh, yeah, it's the least successful.
I mean, yeah. And I mean, Daddy's Little Girls, the fact that that's the least successful, I'm like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
I have never seen it. Did you guys
honestly,
watch that?
It's really
not
dramatic.
Bad, but okay. It's wild. There is one character, the mother character, who behaves so poorly and beats up some people in front of her daughters that you're just like, I can't, this isn't real.
There's like child abuse. There's like a lot of things that happen in that one that are really intense. And but then it also has some moments that are like oddly really light. So, yeah.
And then there's like a neighborhood brawl scene. It's
you know the thing great. I love about Tyler Perry.
These movies are I'm thoroughly enjoying myself.
Because you know why? And this is great. This is why I love Tyler Perry as a black billionaire, because he does what so many creative people wish they could do, mm-hmm. and that is whatever the fuck they want.
Yes, yes.
Like, seriously. And I know that sounds like an understatement, but, like, we all are creative. We can't do whatever the fuck we want most of the time, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For many reasons, whether it's you're in your own head or whatever, but this dude will literally just sit down, put pen to paper, say, ain't nobody rewriting this shit. This is the movie you getting. This is the movie y'all about to shoot, and we about to shoot the hell out of this. And this is just, like, it's the beginning of the blueprint when Jay-Z says, just what I was feeling at the time. Like, what you're about to witness is just what I was feeling at the time. That is Tyler Perry in a nutshell. You are about to witness just what I was feeling at the time. And it is amazing. Also,
I think it's kind of incredible that he takes, like, really, like, well-established high-end actors mm-hmm. and then matches them with people that you haven't really seen and stuff.
Yeah.
And then that, like, gives those people an opportunity. Yeah, like,
totally.
Tyler Perry, his casting is very strategic and I think really smart.
Yeah.
Well, and then when he puts himself in, it's like also fascinating because he plays like in this movie, he's just like a really normal guy. Mm-hmm. And like, then you're like, okay, so why did you cast yourself in this role? Like, I'm so curious about like, why did that seem fun to you to be like this sort of like, hey, what's going on? Like, he like doesn't like, mm-hmm. he doesn't do anything. And then in the next movie, he's three characters. He's Medea, he's Uncle, whatever. He's
I think
like,
he's truly just like, I will show you fuckers range.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see fucking range? I got
and
it.
And the range in this movie was that in the beginning, he had short hair. And then 4 years later, it was a little longer.
It was a little longer. It was a nappier fro.
I am looking at this picture of Tyler Perry as Ben, and I can't stop laughing.
It is the worst wig I've ever seen.
But why are the wigs bad? Like, why? It's like insane because there was a bad wig in which one was it that we watched? Was it Dead? No, it was the first one. It was
it was
Diary of Mad Black
Madea.
Woman.
Wait, what was that one?
Diary of Mad Black Woman.
What did we do for the first one? Diary of Mad Black Woman. Mm-hmm. Did you say it?
I did twice, but then you'll only hear it on my recording. But there was like a bad wig on a guy in that, and you're like, wait, why? Like, first of all, just don't even put it on. Like, I don't even know what's happening.
Yeah,
like Tyler Perry, your hair is fine.
Your hair is fine. Also, you could just grow a fro, bro. Like, I know.
He like, can't you got hair. If he's, you know, filming this and a Madea movie simultaneously.
That must be what it is. That it's like everyone's triple cast, and so they're like doing 100 things. And
also, Tyler Perry deserves his flowers for his acting skills, because outside of his own movies, he's been in some other good shit. He's been in like that Alex Cross movie, which he was pretty good in.
I didn't see that.
He was in Gone Girl. Remember,
he was good in Gone Girl.
He was in Star Trek, which he was pretty damn good in.
He was in Star Trek?
Yeah, he was in like all three of them. The reboot. Oh. Yeah, he's like a Federation leader.
I wonder if Tyler Perry wants to do other people's projects, or if he's just like, I'm fucking fine. I just write whatever I want and I'm in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. I think he does other people's projects when he's just bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he doesn't need to, because he can just do, he's in every one of his own movies just about. So.
Right.
If he's bored, he'll be in it. And I love it. And he'll show us. Oh, yeah, I can act. I can act.
Okay, we're going to have to find that that picture of Kathy Bates looking in the mirror. I need that. It's nowhere online. I'm using the wrong search terms because I need to find this. But
okay, let's see. Kathy Bates.
Now I'm looking too.
You think somebody would have taken a screenshot of that to make fun of it?
Yes.
Maybe people aren't watching the movies with like a comedic eye. Maybe they're just like, man, that was so dramatic.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, this is hard to find.
I
might have to just pull it up on Prime and take my
own
screenshot.
I'm going to do it again. Yeah.
Yes, we got the strip club scene. I see that.
The strip club scene was just so funny to me. Kathy Bates is
so
like,
funny.
Come on, daddy. And she's just throwing Also, who travels with holy water? And I didn't know that was a black people thing. I didn't know we did holy water.
My grandma, I was talking about this with somebody with Iffy and Carl 2 days ago. My grandma would literally just bless a bottle of olive oil and be like, this is holy water and holy oil, and be wiping that shit all on our face. When I was a kid, I didn't get it. But now I realize that you just put an olive oil all over my forehead and that's spraying it around funny. The house. That's all she did, and she would keep one in her purse in case she ever needed to pray over people.
I love that.
It's a thing. And it's very funny.
We had holy water in my fridge growing up that was in like a pill. It was like in a penicillin bottle or something. Like it always confused me because I always connected the holy water with the taste of that medicine because it was in like a medicine bottle.
Yeah.
I never drank it or anything. I just like thought it probably tasted like that because I was just like little and didn't understand what was going on and why we had that. But it was in our fridge.
This is a hard picture to find, but I'm gonna.
We have to figure that out.
I'm gonna take a pic of it. I gotta go check it out to read every post-it note on that mirror, because it's worth it.
It is worth it.
It is. We need to know what that said, because it was funny.
It was.
Well, I think we've come to the end.
Sadly.
Jaquise, do you have anything that you want to plug?
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, you know, when you're not watching Tyler Perry movies, you know, if you want to get some other reality, come check out The Cast with Ray and Jaquise. It's very fun. I'm having a blast.
Yeah, wait, tell us about that, because yeah. I have to listen to that.
Yeah. So here's what we're doing. We're building the greatest cast of all time, and this season is centered around reality TV shows. So we're building the greatest reality TV show cast of all time, a cast of 12, and we're taking some of the greatest moments from some of the biggest reality shows and pulling names from those clips that we're watching. So like we've had Drag Race so far, we've had The Challenge, we've had 90 Day Fiancé, Survivor, Flavor of Love, making the band. We're going deep diving into all these reality shows and their big clips, building a great cast. We'll see if we come away with a pretty good one. Who knows?
That's so fun.
I'm having fun doing it. And Ray is the reality show queen. She knows her shit. And I'm just, you know, an opinionated dude who also watches reality TV and stuff like that. But, you know, I have my opinions and my thoughts, and it's a good time. We having fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nicole, by the way, we haven't talked about 90 Day Fiancé right now. Has some of the most annoying people I think they've ever had. Mm-hmm. Andrew is possibly one of the worst reality characters I've ever seen.
He is a greasy, weird person who is like gaslighting this beautiful woman who just wants to come to America for makeup stores.
I'm just so confused about, I'm glad they're breaking. It seems like they're breaking up. I'm glad.
I think so. She didn't get on the plane from Serbia. So I'm glad. This season's not doing it for me. I was like, was there just like nobody who applied? Like what's going on? I'm missing my Angela.
It feels like they all hate each other.
Yes,
all the
they
couples.
All despise each other. Yara and Jovi, I mean, they're not meant for this world.
It's horrible.
Jaquise, do you watch 90 Day Fiancé?
I've the only season I've watched is before the 90 Days, the last
with
one.
With Darcy, my queen?
Yes, with Darcy and Big Ed and Rose and all them. Those are the ones I've watched.
Oh, so you watched a later season. You gotta watch season one to watch the evolution of Darcy's face and just who she is.
Okay, I will.
Have you watched on Discovery Plus the one that's called like The Single Life, 90 Day Fiancé, The Single Life?
Yes.
I haven't seen that.
It's not
too much.
Is it not good?
It's not great, but it's also not bad. I will say this, Danielle is on it. And she is iconic. She goes on a date with this man who doesn't like her immediately. And at one point she was just like, oh gosh, all this wind. Because the wind just like blew her hair around. And then she was like, what do you like to do? And he was like, travel. And she's like, mm-hmm, that's nice. It's just. And then there's an episode of Bearzall where she talks about how she sells sex toys. And
Danielle?
Yes. Sean Robbins, Robinson is laughing. Danielle is laughing as she's trying to explain a womanizer, which is like a clit sucker. The whole crew is laughing. And then Caesar comes out and does her toes. He calls them little piggies.
No, this is Caesar's not okay, right? I mean, like
he's not well. Nobody is well or thriving.
That is so. The producers are geniuses, but also like so awful. And then you'll come out and give her a pedicure. Like, that's psychotic.
I love it.
I obviously love it. It's all I want to watch. Okay, so we have our five-star segment, which we're calling, right, for the time being, it's the five hallelujah segment.
So hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Five hallelujahs.
This one comes from Gastfields, and it's titled, I Hurt Myself Laughing. The newest season of Newcomers had me literally in tears with laughter. I made the mistake of doing an ab workout while listening. I pulled all the muscles in my neck laughing at Lauren and Nicole describing Medea using a calculator. Thanks.
Honestly, okay. That scene is iconic. I think about it often. Just titties flopping, not putting in any sort of numbers in this calculator.
It's so funny. I was reenacting it yesterday for Mary Holland on Zoom. I was like, you have to watch this movie. Like, it's... The scene is just amazing. Like, and what did he hit you? He owes you $5 billion, trillion, billion, trillion, billion, lillion, lillion dollars.
Let's also shout out the dude who listens to podcasts while working out. That is amazing.
People seem to do that, like, which, yes, I think is wild.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have said, I've been, you know, on the internets. And they were like, I didn't know about them covering Medea. I still don't know about it. But the people who've, like, actually listened are like, it's fun.
Yeah.
So if, I don't know, you have a friend who listened to our podcast who was like, I'm not for Medea. Think about why you're not for Medea.
Mm-hmm. And get on board.
Because we're having a great fucking time.
I'll say this.
Yeah.
Star Wars, cool. Great. Lord of Rings, cool. Great. This Tyler Perry is going to be nonstop laughs. And if you just like to laugh, you better listen to this. You better listen to this season, right? Because it is going to be so, it's so wildly different. And I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
I feel more prepared when I come to record because I'm like, I understood everything.
Same. Yes. I know what's going on. It's kind of amazing. So if you're out there, please give us a 5-star review. We'll pick one to read on the next episode. And we'll be back next week with another one of Tyler Perry's works. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Was a HeadGum original.